Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia 7-year warranty. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia has you covered.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551, wash your hands on you there. At the end of the news said that Liveline raised the gaiety of the nation yesterday in a difficult time. Well, we want to do it again today, if at all possible, because it's the bank holiday weekend. We normally have a funny Friday, but obviously these times are different. So we asked one of our greatest stars, nearly 50 million albums sold worldwide. I think Lady in Red was a hit, number one in something like 47 countries. Chris de Burgh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, good. Where, Chris, I presume, given your years, which are, I know you're six decades in the business in 2020, which is incredible.
Correct, yeah.
Incredible,
yeah.
Well done. Are you cocooning?
I'm cocooning. I'm here in Wicklow with Diane, my wife. Mm-hmm. I have to say, it's a beautiful outlook. I'm just looking out the window right now. And we've basically been here for about, 48 days now, I think, isolating.
Wow. And
I know this, it sounds like an imposition, which it is for an awful lot of people. But to be honest, I have the long view. Everybody should have the long view on what's going on here. And incidentally, I'd like to say you're looking very well.
Oh, thank you,
Joe.
Chris. Thank
but
you.
I can't see you, unfortunately. But the last time I saw you, last time I saw you, you were looking extremely dapper, yeah. And you had a tie that, luckily I was wearing sunglasses, because this tie was quite a sensational thing. It was greens and purples and pinks. Do you still have it?
Yeah, but the one I'm wearing today, because I thought there was a chance that I'd be able to see you, the one I'm wearing today is to match the braces I'm wearing today, and the reason why I'm wearing a red tie and red braces is because of Lady in Red.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, man. Have you got a red dress on? You have got one in the closet somewhere, have you?
No, not at the moment. That's more a weekend hobby for me. But you're in good fettle, Chris.
I couldn't be better. You know, disappointment is better than a funeral. And I have a few things I had planned for the rest of the year. For example, I was supposed to be doing a concert in Dubai at the end of March, plus two in Beirut, also right after that. And then I had shows in Germany and a summer tour planned. I had a stage musical, which I've been working on for 2.5 years, which was going to be premiered in Fulda, in the middle of Germany. It's called Robin Hood, and that was going to go out in June this year, but that's now deferred to next year. And I had an album. Actually, very luckily, I finished all the recording in February. I was in Peter Gabriel's studio near Bath recording it's called The Legend of Robin Hood, and I finished the vocals at home here in Ireland by the 12th of March before everything really kicked off. And so that's in the can. I don't know where that's going to go out. But you know what, Joe? I was walking through Heathrow Airport on the 16th of February wearing a face mask. Very few other people were.
Yeah.
There was a tsunami on our way. And why? I don't know. Nobody. Anyway, we won't go there. We'll have a happy Friday.
Okay. You're saying that maybe everyone should have been more aware of what was coming down the line.
Well,
you were worried if you were one of the few people wearing a face mask.
I certainly was. I was listening. I was, I suppose, being somebody who travels the world a lot, I was becoming much more aware of what was going on in Italy, in southern Germany, in Spain, and sure, it was going to come here inevitably anyway, but... Anyway, enough of that. What I have here for you today is a piano and a guitar.
Oh, wonderful.
A long list of about 500 songs.
Yeah.
Whichever you want. If your listeners wish to hear a choice or a selection, I'm very happy.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, one other thing. We put this up on my Facebook page, so I know that there are going to be people listening all over the world to your program today.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, first caller. 51551, wash your hands. Joe at rt.ie, 1850 715 815. You heard it yourself just there. Chris said he will play a request for you. He'll perform it live. And do you like many songs in your repertoire, like album wise, there must be 300, is there, before we go
on? Yeah, I've written about 300 songs. And before that, I don't know if you were probably just a young fella in short pants, but I started early in my career not only singing in my mum and dad's castle. And by the way, my mum is listening. I can't see her. She's 93. Hi, mum. I'm so sorry I can't get down to Wexford to see you, but Well, not long now. And I used to sing for the guests there. Mm-hmm. And then in Captain America's cookhouse up in Grafton Street, I used to sing. And I had loads and loads of cover songs back in the day before. Occasionally, I'd throw in one of mine to complete indifference to the diners.
given that you've mentioned your mother, why don't you play a song for her?
Ah, for my mum.
Yeah.
Well, let me
introduce
think of it. Okay.
Say something nice about her first, obviously, and then is her birthday coming soon or anything?
Yes, there is actually June.
Yeah,
June,
okay, that's
22nd of June.
Okay.
Let me think. Maybe one of mine here called "Here Is Your Paradise."
Okay, just.
Are you okay for this?
Yeah.
I never. Oh, wait a second. One thing. I've got to take my headphones off. I can't hear what I'm doing.
Okay.
So, 1 second. Here we are. This is Seat of the Pants Tough.
Yeah.
Mom, this is for you. I never knew love could be a silence in the heart, a moment when the time is still, and all I've been looking for is right here in my arms, just waiting for the chance to begin. I never knew love could be the sunlight in your eyes on a day that you may not have seen. And all I've been searching for, well, words could never say, when a touch is more than anything. Maybe you will never know how much I love you, but of this be sure. Here is your paradise, here is your book of life, where you and I will be forevermore. Here is your paradise, here is your book of life, where you and I will be forevermore. And in the dark night you'll follow the bright light, go where the love must go. You will wake in the morning to a brand new day, take all your worries away.
That's Christer Borg. Now, he's on Skype and he's in his house. Obviously, the world is different at the moment. I have to give him a few seconds to put back on his headphones because he's trying to do all the balancing between the piano and he'll hear his guitar later on himself. Your mother, who you dedicated that song to, was a fascinating woman.
She certainly is and was, yeah. A very interesting background. Brought up in County Kildare and in times of real difficulties, I imagine, you know, during the Second War and afterwards, and everybody was on horseback all the time. And then she met my dad. My dad, he volunteered from Argentina. He's British extraction and background, to fight in the Second War. And he then spent 4 years behind the Japanese lines in Burma, which was atrocious conditions and extremely dangerous. And then after the war, he met my mum and they got married and went back to Argentina, back to the estancia there, where my brother, elder brother Richard, was born. And then little Christopher turned up in 1948, October the 15th, in case anybody wants to send me a present.
Okay.
And then subsequently, you know, had a tough life and an interesting life, and amongst other things, we had to work for MI5 and MI6, decoding stuff during the communist crisis Albania, and had to sign the Official Secrets Act. And there was a marvelous moment when Rosanna, my daughter, when she was doing Who Do You Think You Are?
They
were sitting in the kitchen at Bargay Castle, and Rosanna said to my mum, "Granny, you never told me you were a spy." And my mum said, "Well, you never asked me."
Incredible.
Such a great response.
And was Kim Philby mentioned?
Kim Philby was in charge of the first operation, which went horrible, and a lot of the agents were killed.
Yeah,
my parents they weren't involved in that one.
Yeah.
But the second one, yes, unfortunately, there was this mole in MI6 wandering around the restaurants and listening to conversations, and he was passing information back to Russia. And all the agents got caught, except one, I believe. Very tragic.
And so, they would have been executed. Your mother, she lived in India, didn't she?
She did, And grew up in India.
I know you're very interested in history, Chris.
Yeah, indeed.
Is that where it comes from? Or?
Well, I think being brought up from the age of 12 in a crumbling old 12th century castle where there was no heat, no light, no electricity, no water helped the romantic side of my being come to life. And yes, her father, General Sir Eric de Burgh, he was chief of the general staff in India at the outbreak of the Second World War, and he had 600,000 men under his command. And then so my mother and her sister, her late sister, they lived there during their childhood. And amazingly, after my father passed away, she then decided to go back to India with a group of people, farmers from Ireland, and they had an amazing time. And she writes beautifully about her experiences. So, Mum, if you're listening, keep the stories coming, because your grandchildren and your great-granddaughter, Sophia, would love to read them all over again.
Who got the title Pioneer Training and Disposal Unit? Is that your mother? Was she the one that was training the spies to operate behind?
No, she was working at night decoding and sending messages back to London. My dad was in charge of the physical side of it, blowing things up and shooting people and stuff like that.
Okay.
Interesting background.
By the way, you mentioned Rosanna. How is new baby Sophia? What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. Chris, can I ask, is that your first grandchild?
First grandchild.
Oh, congratulations.
And I know that Rosie was on the Late Late Show in early February talking about the difficulties she went through.
Yeah.
Hi, Rosie, and hi, Sophia. And unfortunately, because of the lockdown, which we're taking extremely seriously, we can't see them or near them. And but luckily, we're so fortunate. And to all the people across Ireland, you know, imagine if there were no internet and there was no way of keeping in touch with people. It would be isolation taken to a very sharp degree there. And so the baby is flourishing. She'll be 5 months old in a few weeks' time. And bonny and big and happy and bouncy and all the wonderful things. And I'm sure there's lots of people here in Ireland with newborn babies that their grandparents cannot see, which is a shame. But, you know, we will in time.
Yeah, okay. That's a lovely sentiment. Okay, the callers are queuing up here, Chris. And before the next song, Jamie will give me, I'll be able to talk to you directly about what Jamie, our sound operator, wants in terms of, you thought the piano was too dominant in that one. Is that correct? We're trying to do this a tic-tac. Yeah, no, don't you worry one bit of sound. It's incredible that we're on Skype, but just Jamie will tell me what to say to you for the next song.
Okay.
Hilary Williams is in Cork. Say hello to Chris de Burgh.
Hiya, how are you doing?
Hi, Hilary.
It was lovely to hear you got a nice granddaughter, so that's fantastic.
Thank you.
I wanted to tell you I've been a fan for probably 40 years. I lived in Liverpool. I used to go and see you quite a lot, and I met you at the Empire Theatre once.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was a wonderful venue. Wasn't that the place that the Beatles used to perform?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Love yeah. it. I love your accent from Liverpool, because I'm a huge Liverpool supporter.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to go back to work.
To work, yeah. And buy the chicken.
Yeah. But Hilary, you met Chris backstage in Liverpool in 1982. You don't expect him to remember that, do you, Hilary, darling?
No, I do have the photograph to
oh,
prove
do you?
It.
Okay, send it in to us.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, also, I think I shouted up onto the stage at the time, can you sing Satin Green Shutters, because I love that song.
Oh, lordy, okay. Lordy, lordy.
That was an old one.
What's your favourite? We'll get to it in a sec, but what's your favourite? What song would you like Chris to perform?
Well, possibly Borderline. I think it's lovely.
Yeah. And I think Borderline. Maybe I was only listening to it this morning. It's appropriate for the times we live in, is it, Chris? Some of the sentiments. What's the background to this particular song?
I wrote this in 1982, prior to recording my album The Getaway, and I remember we were living in an apartment down at Sea Point, and there was a little piano there, and this was before Rosie was born in 1984, and I remember watching, because of my Argentine background, and the Malvinas War, Falklands War, and there was a huge ceremony in London, and Galtieri by this time had been beaten, and that unfortunate ship had gone down with the possibly the worst headline in a newspaper of all time, the Sun newspaper, saying "Gotcha." Yeah, apart from the next one they did about the Liverpool thing, but
and
nevertheless,
there was 1,100, wasn't there, on the Belgrano?
Yeah,
that were
yeah, the
killed.
Belgrano, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I had mixed emotions, I must say, watching this big parade that Thatcher had organised. All these people, soldiers marching down the mole, the airmen, the seamen, everybody. And it was wonderful to see. But right at the back came the wounded soldiers in the wheelchairs and the severely. And I remember one man, a Welsh fella, whose name escapes me for the moment, severely burned in the HMS Sheffield. And he went on, maybe one of your listeners can remind me of the name, he went on then to be a really amazing proponent of anti-war and so on. But all these people were at the back of, and I thought that's absolutely wrong. They should have been at the forefront of this parade. And I remember Diane was out and came back and I'd written this song in a very short time. I was outraged. And then it became, funnily enough, it became songs that were people identified with in Germany, in Ireland, the troubles situation, all over the world, because there are borderlines everywhere. And it's basically about, if I have a moment to set the scene, imagine you're in a railway station at about 1940, and soldiers are leaving for the front, and they're all joshing and, you know, ribbing each other and all happy to head off. And there's me. As the singer, a relationship with somebody in a faraway country, but I'm going to go on the same train and meet her, knowing that I will never be able to see her again until the borders are open and the borderline is reduced, you know, by warfare. So if you like, I'll sing it here.
Okay, what I'm going to do, Chris, I need to have a commercial break. I'm going to take the break, and then I think Jamie's going to have a chat with you during the break. The first one sounded good, but he wants to have a little quick chat with you, and then we come straight back. Christoborg, your request, please. The 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850
715 815. Joe at rt.ie, and we have Christoborg in his home in Wicklow, and he has a piano and he has a 12-string guitar, and he's in great form, even though he hasn't seen Sophia's new grandchild because he's cocooning for a long number of days, like so many grandparents, as Chris remarked. And Hilary is on. We're asking people, do you want to talk directly to Chris? Would you like him to sing a particular song? Hilary is on from Cork, and she wants him to sing Borderline. Chris has just explained the background to it. And you mentioned you had a T-shirt.
Yes, I still have the T-shirt. It's actually shrunk and I've grown, so, you know, but I've still got it.
Okay.
And this is, we all.
Exactly.
This is Christoborg with Borderline.
Okay, taking the headphones off, so I'll get back to the piano right now. Here we go. Thank you. I'm standing in the station, I'm waiting for a train to take me to the border and my loved one far away. I watched a bunch of soldiers heading for the war. I could hardly even bear to see them go. Rolling through the countryside, tears are in my eyes. We're coming to the borderline. I'm ready with my lies. And in the early morning rain, I see her there. And I know I'll have to say goodbye again. Breaking my heart, I know what I must do. I hear my country call me, but I want to be with you. I'm taking my side, one of us will lose. Don't let go, I want to know that you will wait for me until the day. There's no borderline, no borderline. Walking past the border guards, reaching for her hand, showing no emotion. I want to break into a run, but these are only boys. And I will never know how men can see the wisdom in a war. And it's breaking my heart, I know what I must do. I hear my country call me, but I want to be with you. I'm taking my side, one of us will lose. Don't let go, I want to know that you will wait for me until the day. There's no borderline, no borderline.
That's wonderful, Chris de Burgh. Very, very apt in the times we live in. As Chris goes, takes his headphones off and goes back to his desk. Earl Charles Spencer. Charles, good afternoon. Good day, Charles.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, great. That's great. I'm delighted you invited me on because I haven't spoken to Chris for a little while. But what I've been listening to the programme. What a great programme.
But Charles, you know Chris going way back, don't you?
I do. I think Chris, you know, was a great supporter around the time of the death of my sister Diana. And he was one of the star acts. We had a very large concert. I'm talking to you from my house in England. Mm. And we had a big concert here for her memorial fund. And Chris was the first of everyone I approached to say yes without hesitation. And then we became good friends after that. And sadly, we haven't seen each other for a bit, but we've had some fun together, Chris and I, and we've traveled the world together and seen a bit together. So it's great to catch up with him via your program.
Okay, and as you can hear, Go ahead, Chris.
Charles, I'm absolutely thrilled because I please, before you leave the program, leave email details or a phone or something, because yes. I tried calling you the other day or sending you a text to wish you whatever it was, a happy Christmas. And unfortunately, I imagine you probably got a new number. But I'm absolutely delighted. Mm-hmm. The last time I saw you was in your home in Maida Vale, I think. in London. And I remember, actually, I remember why, because my daughter Rosanna was going into the Miss World competition. Right, and I remember saying to you, I have a feeling she might win this, but that, nevertheless, it'll be fun. But yes, your sister and I, we were, as you know, we communicated quite regularly. And her favorite song was The Lady in Red.
In Red, and, that's right. Yeah, I remember she once got you to play it three times in a row, didn't she?
Yes, she did. I think this is a very apt moment to get out my guitar and sing it. I'm absolutely delighted. And are you in your palatial home?
I'm at Allthorpe, So, we're all in this together, but I'm extremely lucky to be where I am in lockdown. And, you know, we've all got to be in this, as I say. We've turned over the kitchens here to the local, it's called Food for Heroes, a charity.
So, great.
We've got the chef and all the team here. That we're supplying 350 meals a day to the National Health Service staff locally.
Wow.
Well done. So like everybody else, during this lockdown, I've been going through cupboards that I should have emptied years ago and found this and that and the other. And I found you very kindly sent me a bound copy of your speech at Princess Diana's funeral. And I think you only did about maybe 50 or 100. And it's a treasured thing because, as you know, my wife and I were in Westminster Abbey that day. And one of my most extraordinary memories was when Elton sang his song, he was very close to me and he looked absolutely petrified, poor guy. And I'm glad I didn't have to sing because, as you know, I wrote a song for your sister.
Yeah,
and did There's a new star up in heaven tonight. But then with the doors open, the sunlight streaming in, and those thousands and thousands of people who'd camped overnight and waiting for the actual funeral to begin. And then you made your speech. And after that, you could hear the applause from outside the cathedral, the abbey, and then it started coming inside, and then it became like a wave. And it was the most incredible thing. It still gives me goosebumps thinking about it, Charles, because at that moment, it was an incredible turning point. And I'm very fortunate to have a copy of your speech, and I'm delighted.
And as you mentioned the speech, Chris, to Charles, the reaction was incredible. It was, and the hairs on the back of the neck, and it was the most spontaneous. But that phrase, Charles, that you used to the two boys, those two gorgeous young boys at the time, "I pledge that we, your blood family, will do all we can to continue the imaginative and loving way in which you were steering," i.e. Diana, "were steering these two exceptional young men so that their souls are not simply immersed by duty and tradition, but can sing openly as you planned."
It's interesting, you know, I don't know where Chris gets his songs from. You know, these sort of phrases just come to you, really. And what happened was that Diana died one weekend, and there was a sort of long week in between. And then I sort of worked out, my family all wanted me to write the tribute to Diana. And I woke up really early. I'd obviously been thinking about what I could say and what was suitable, etc. And then I'm sure most people, probably all sadly on this program, have suffered grief. And I had that insomnia that goes with grief. And I just got up and wrote it. And the whole thing only took about an hour and a quarter, I think, because it was just ready to come. And it was one of those, you know, of course, people very kindly say nice things about it. But of course, it's a speech I never wanted to give. You know?
Of course. But what you said seems, I think it's resonating now, Charles, in that a lot of people here in Ireland, I don't know what the situation is in the UK, but a lot of people in Ireland would have enormous regard for Harry and Meghan. You know, they visited here about two years ago. Enormous regard for his work on mental health and his bravery in what he's doing at the moment, and the dignity with which he's doing it. But he's getting, as you know, strife from the British press, the tabloid press especially. Do you think Harry? Well, what do you think of what Harry and Meghan have done and their move to the States?
Oh, goodness. You're really putting an aging uncle on the spot here. Let's talk about Chris.
That's a tough question for you. Hey, Charles, I've got to tell you, we were in South Africa, and one of my many tours of South Africa.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Dropped in on Hannes Meiberg. Mielus, do you remember that?
I do. So this is a friend of Chris and mine who runs a beautiful house and vineyard in South Africa. He turned 65 yesterday, actually. Anyway, we did. And I mean, like Chris and I, we just sort of bump into each other. It's one of those sort of strange relationships. But it has been rather a long time since we last did it, so we must rectify that.
Okay. We certainly will, Charles. It's wonderful to hear from you. And I better do that song, because now what I need to do is, if you guys, tell you what, I'll introduce the song. This is called The Lady in Red. And then I need about 5 seconds to put myself at the piano. And even if you're talking, I'm going to have to start because I won't be able to hear
you. That's cool. And Charles, you have another new book coming out. Another book, sorry.
In fact, today is my final day of editing my book. And I know you've written yourself a few. Yeah. So you know what that's like. It's like bringing a child into the world, really. So anyway, but it's good that I'm near the end of it.
Well done. And what's the story? History
again. It's a
true
story, set exactly 900 years ago, about a tragedy that overcame the British royal family. If I sound a bit glib, it's really a cross between Game of Thrones and Titanic, because a ship went down with the king's only son and all the most important people in England and Normandy, called the White Ship. But I love real history, like you write. You know, to me, I love basing things in truth.
Okay, and if you're talking to Harry and Meghan, will you tell them the reaction we got on this programme to what he's doing is fantastic and great admiration, and he has he's great affection for him here in Ireland. I can hear Chris getting ready. He's going to perform Lady in Red, your sister's favourite song.
Okay, I'm ready to go. I'm just going to take off the headphones and I'll be back at the end of the song.
Okay.
See you soon, Charles.
Okay, great, Chris. Take care.
Bye-bye. I've never seen you looking so lovely as you do tonight. I've never seen you shine so bright. I've never seen so many men ask you if you wanted to dance. Looking for a little romance, given half a chance. And I have never seen that dress you wear, or the highlights in your hair that catch your eyes. I have been blind, lady in red. Is dancing with me, cheek to cheek. Nobody here. It's just you and me. It's where I want to be, but I hardly know this beauty by my side. Yes, I'll never forget the way you look tonight. I've never seen you looking so gorgeous as you did tonight. I've never seen you shine so bright. You were amazing. I've never seen so many people want to be there by your side. And when you turned to me and smiled, it took my breath away. I have never had such a feeling of complete and utter love as I do tonight, lady in red. It's dancing with me. There's nobody here, nobody here. It's just you and me. It's where I want to be, but I hardly know. This beauty by my side, yes, I'll never forget. The way you look tonight. never will forget the way you look tonight. The lady in red, the lady in red, the lady in red, my lady in red.
Super, super. And Chris will take off his, move back from the piano and put back on his headphones and go to the microphone. Charles Spencer, thanks indeed. And as Charles mentioned there, Althorp, which you all know is Diana's home, where she was born and reared. The kitchens of Althorp have been turned into a feeding station for 350 doctors and nurses in the NHS daily. And that's what they're doing. It's incredible. Ian Moore, Joe at RT.ie. We were Chris de Bourgh. He's talking to his fans and doing his requests. Ian Moore, you make a living out of Chris de Bourgh, so to speak, I hope.
Oh, not anymore.
Oh, do you not? Okay.
Ian, how are you doing?
Oh, you know him. What do you do, Ian?
Well, I now work in a school, so obviously I'm at home at the moment.
Yeah.
I did a few shows as Chris. In the year or two after my little piece on Stars in Their Eyes. 20 okay. years ago that is now.
Really, was it? I remember because they invited me on, and I came on and you were completely taken aback because I started singing the second chorus and you went, ooh, and there was the two of us looking. You got the eyebrows. I tell you what, you had the voice as well and the haircut. It was fantastic.
You scared the wits out of me, Chris. I panicked. I still to this day look back on that and I panicked because I thought something had gone wrong. And then I looked back and I saw you and I thought, okay, now it all makes sense. All the things that had happened in the week before, there was something different to the feel of how when I did the show the previous year, and then it all made sense when that happened. It was quite something.
And you won. Did you not win Celebrity Stars in Your Eyes singing Lady in Red?
It wasn't the celebrity one, it was just a regular one. But okay. I won the show in 1999.
Okay.
It was June 99. And they invited me back for the Series 11, which was in 2000. So it was June 2000. So it is almost 20 years ago. To do my piece, to do Lady in Red, for the very last time as the previous year's winner. And that was obviously when they surprised me.
And so Chris de Bourgh has been your backing singer at times. Because Chris, stay there, Ian. Chris, do you remember
oh, yes.
coming on Liveline and performing as a backing singer to a dog?
That's, I do, actually.
Yeah, well, here it is.
The phone lines stay open until 3:15 on 1850 715 815.
Do you want to start the video now? This might not happen, friends at home, but it could be a force in that he is singing live on Irish National Radio.
Yeah.
His name is Rogie. He will only sing along with Chris de Bourgh and nobody else. Okay,
no.
you what are you doing now? Tell me what you're doing. You're pressing the video.
I'm going to put it on, yeah.
Okay, and put it up loud so we can hear it.
Oh, yeah, he likes it loud.
Yeah.
Can you hear him?
Yeah, let him go. He's kind of a note there.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a dog. Fire up the video there and we get the full backing track.
The phone lines stay open until 3:15 on 1850 715.
Not over yet, Chris. Hang on.
Christopher, good afternoon to you.
Hi, who's this?
Joe here, Joe Duffy.
How are you doing, Joe?
Are you well?
That was very funny.
What do you think of Rogie?
I thought he hit the note. I tell you, when he was doing the Carry On lines, he had the tune perfectly.
Have you ever heard of this before, Chris?
No, I haven't. I thought somebody rang me and said, you better listen to the radio. I thought it was somebody in a coma or something, and then I heard this dog. That was very funny.
Now, would you say hello to Bernadette, the owner
of
the dog,
yeah,
Chris?
Absolutely.
Bernadette, hi.
Hello, yeah?
This is Chris de Borg on the other line.
My God. My God.
Hello, no, but you're warm. It's Chris de Borg.
I'm very impressed
Chris
by...
De Borg.
Hi, darling. Listen, would you lend me a dog for a few months? I'm
my
off on
God,
tour
my
shortly.
My dog is coming in. He hears me talking to you. Hold on, he's on the chair.
What the...
Yeah, he's on the chair.
Hey, listen, I tell you, why don't I sing to the dog? This could
sing
be a
to the dog,
for
okay.
Radio.
Now, the only thing is, Chris...
Yeah.
He's a professional and he's temperamental.
Okay, he may not respond.
Well, he only performs once a day.
Oh, I
see. Bernadette made clear to us...
Wait, now, he sees me crying. Hold on.
Okay, bring him up.
He sees me crying. Hold on. I can't believe it.
Do you want to put the phone up to the dog's ear? Is that what you're going to do, Bernadette?
You tell us when you're doing that. if Bonner could get a lamb crying in Marion Square yesterday, I can certainly get a dog howling today.
Yeah, he's here now.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Lady in red is dancing with me cheek to cheek. There's nobody here, it's just you and me. This is where I want to be. I don't hear anything, woo, 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 but I hardly know this doggy by my side. I'll never forget the way you bark tonight.
Oh,
that was 20 years ago, Christopher.
That's very funny.
And you know what we were doing this morning when I'd completely forgotten about that, believe it or not, and I have a fairly good memory. Our boss here at the moment, Peter Woods, reminded us of it because he was producing Liveland at that time, and we dug it out. And we're trying to find out what happened, if anyone can help us, Bernadette and Rogie the dog in the meantime. Bernadette and Rogie the dog. And the dog, we were sent in, that was the video I was referring to, Chris. We had been sent in a video of Rogie singing. There was no gags in it. It was the dog actually making noises to your singing. By the way, you mentioned there about coma. Is it true your music has been used to wake people from a coma, or to help, or to?
Yeah, I know there's a very smart and funny response to that, but in fact, it's true. did they go into the coma, listen to the music, or did they come out? Anyway, sorry, but yes, it's true. Yeah, this has happened numerous times, and I the kind of songs I write and sing, they do bring enormous comfort to people, and I can tell you in this recent time, songs of mine have been. People have sent me numerous messages saying, you know, we just played your song at my father's funeral. He died of COVID-19. Thank you for the comfort. You know, this I've been reminded regularly to look very carefully at my Facebook page at what people are saying. That these are real people with real problems. You know, it's very simple, I think, when you're an entertainer and in front of thousands of people regularly to kind of just say, well, they're just thousands of people, but each one is an individual. And I have to say, Joe, this is a passion of mine. This is something I believe right from the start, is that the little child born in Mumbai is as important a human being as the Pope. There's no, everybody is utterly equal. Birth to death, we are the same. And some of us, I suppose the saying goes, more equal than others. But nevertheless, I do believe that it's very important to have compassion and empathy. And I have to say also, one of the reasons I listen to your program is you have such compassion and empathy for your listeners.
You're very kind. And you're very kind. As I said often, more often recently than I've had occasion to say it, but it's a privilege to be in this radio station at this time and to hear people's stories, and it's a privilege to talk to you as well, Chris, and to hear your generosity. You're a great history. There's more. Okay, well, okay. Let me bring in the listeners. It's their program. Una Heaton, Una, good afternoon. Say hello to Chris.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, Una.
Wash your hands.
Okay. You weren't washing your hands when. No, tell your story about Chris.
Okay, you ready, Chris? Hi, Chris. You're a fantastic man. Now,
thanks,
I don't
Lula.
know. many, many years ago, Gay Byrne, the Lord rest Gay Byrne, the great Gay Byrne, he had a programme on with Anne Walsh about singing in the bath competition.
Ah, yeah, the great Anne Walsh. She was a producer, yeah.
Yeah.
Singing in the bath, brilliant idea.
Singing in the bath, and my husband was known as the bath man after that, but that's another story. But seemingly, we won the heat in Limerick.
Okay.
And we had to go to Dublin to the boutique, a bathroom boutique opposite the Lincoln Inn there.
Okay.
It's now, I think, part of the art gallery or something.
Right.
National Gallery. And Chris was doing the judging. Can you remember that, Chris?
Yes,
you don't
I
remember
do, yeah.
Me.
Yes, okay.
And I said,
Neil, but I don't remember you with
Carrie
your clothes
Fergus.
On.
Oh, yeah. I don't recognise
you. Oh, wait, that gets better. Well, we were actually, I was singing my own song to Carrie Deer of Carrie Fergus. Do you remember that?
No, how do you expect it? Una, how do you expect
come
it to remember?
Come on, you
Una.
Would. I wish I was.
Una, Una, you sound like you're in a bathroom at the moment.
Well, it could be close enough.
Fair, okay. And
so
you,
then,
yes,
going on 10 years later,
right.
We're at an event in the Berkeley Court up in the penthouse.
Yeah,
and
as you do,
Chris is entertaining the guests, right? And I stand beside Chris. He's playing the piano on the ivories, playing lovely, and I tip him on the shoulder. Oh, I think we're introduced. And I said to Chris, you don't recognise me with my clothes on.
With your clothes on.
I beg your pardon, says Chris.
So
do
well,
you remember that?
You know what? I have the very song for you, Nuala. And I think this should get the whole country, anybody listening, to dance around, make the dog howl, make the cat run out the room, because I would love to sing for you right now, apropos of your story, Patricia the Stripper.
Oh,
ah.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Brilliant. Chris thank makes... you
very much. Okay, you mind yourself.
Thank you.
In fact, thank you, Nuala. Joe, I'm actually, I've got the guitar in a more sensible position right now, so I can do it right away, right?
Okay.
I wrote this song having gone to a rather posh place in the east of England during the time I was in London banging on doors for 3 years trying to get into the music business a long time ago, living on people's sofas and couches and, you know, forever grateful for their generosity. And I went to this thing. And it was desperately posh, and people got dressed for dinner and blah, blah, blah. And the next morning, this chap comes up to me and says, have you ever done any fly fishing? And I said, as a matter of fact, no. I was brought up in Wexford, and we used to do salmon, at least mackerel fishing from the shore, and a bit of bass fishing when there were still bass in the sea. And he said, well, give this a shot. And so I stood on the bank, luckily out of nobody else could see me, and I cast the first fly, and it stuck in the tree above me.
Okay.
I went, oh no, that wasn't the word I used. Oh no, it was a different word. And I stepped off the bank onto what I thought was a hard piece of leafy sort of bank edge, and I went up to my neck in mud and went straight down in mud.
Okay.
And I actually embarrassed. I left everything there. I got back into my car, covered, and went straight into the bath. And on the flight home that later that weekend,
right.
I was thinking about all this and thinking, actually, what I wanted to do most of all was not be there. I wanted to be out downtown having a bit of a laugh. So this is what I came up with.
Okay. Christopher.
I've got to take my headphones off. There we go. Okay. Dennis is a menace with his. Anyone for tennis? And beseeched me to come and keep the score. And Maud says, oh, Lord, I'm so terribly bored. I really can't stand it anymore. I'm going out to dinner with a gorgeous singer to a little place I found right here in County Wicklow. Her name is Patricia. She calls herself Delicia. And the reason isn't very hard to see. She says God made her a sinner just to keep those fat men thinner as they tumble down in heaps before her feet. They hang around in groups like battle-weary troops. One can often see them queue right down the street. You see, Patricia, or Delicia, not only is a singer, she's also removing all her clothing. For Patricia is the best stripper in town, and with a swing of her hips, she started did a strip to tremendous applause. She took off her drawers and with a lick of her lips she undid all the clips, threw it all in the air, and everybody stared. And as the last piece of clothing fell to the floor, the police were banging on the door on a Saturday night in 1924. Now's your chance, dance, dance. Everybody's singing. Patricia was arrested and everyone detested the awful manner in which she was exposed. And later on in court, well, everybody thought a summer run in jail would be proposed. But the judge said, Patricia, or may I say Delicia, the dreadful facts of this sordid yet somehow strangely appealing case are upstairs in my chambers. Will you join me later, dear? My boozy floozy in my jacuzzi. Ha 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 ha. Case dismissed! This girl was in her working clothes and with a swing of her hips she started a strip to tremendous applause. She took off her drawers and with a lick of her lips she undid all the clips, threw it all in the air, and everybody stared. And as the last piece of clothing fell to the floor, the police were yelling out for more on a Saturday night in 1924. On a Saturday night in 1924. On a Saturday night in 1924. Come on, Patricia, do it again. In 1924.
Wonderful stuff. Susan Quinlan and Cork, that's your party piece, isn't it, Susan?
It is, Joe, yeah.
And when did you start performing that, so to speak, Susan?
Well, I've been a fan of Chris's since, oh God, I was about 14 when I was introduced to his music. And my first single that was ever given to me by a boyfriend was The Lady in Red.
Wow.
And I went to see him in the RDS in 1986, I think it was, 87. And I met him personally at Dublin Airport on right. June 19th, 1987.
Okay.
I was actually emigrating to America.
Okay.
And it was my first time even at Dublin Airport. And he had missed his flight, Chris. You had missed your flight. And we just crossed paths. And I said I was a huge fan. And you very nicely came into a photograph with me. And my mum took the photograph. She cut off half of your head. But it doesn't matter. I still have the photograph.
And Patricia,
that's great.
Well, that was, Chris will dedicate Patricia the Stripper to Susan Quinlan from Cork, Chris.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Okay, how are you managing the lockdown, Susan?
Look, we just have to get on with it, Joe. You know, stay home, stay safe, and remind each other, you know. Thank God the weather's great, though. That's the main thing.
We can get
out, you know, for a while.
Okay, well done. And what do you want to say to Chris now that you can talk to him directly in his home?
Oh, I can't believe I'm actually, after all these years... I can't believe I'm actually talking to you live.
Hi, Susan.
My friends at work are going to go mad about this because whenever we're out at my party piece, it always has to be Patricia the Stripper.
Well, there, you have the imprimatur from the composer and performer of the song, Susan. Well done, Susan. Mind yourself. By the way...
Right, thanks, Joe. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Bye, Susan.
I know you do great work for the Wicklow Hospice. Isn't that right, Chris? And I know you've done work for the ISPCC before. But 2 days ago, we mentioned Liz Rackard, that fantastic artist, was doing prints wash our hands and various other pieces. And if people would send her, email her a copy of a donation they made to any charity. But anyway, Liz has run out. The print run is gone, unfortunately. So that's over. But you can still give the other charity we mentioned that day to IrelandThanksYou.ie. IrelandThanksYou.ie. With every €25 donation, you get a free T-shirt sent to you. And the goal is to get 5,000 one-for-all gift cards to the value of £100 to give to €100 to give to 5,000 frontline heroes. It's a great, great story. Chris, they're queuing up now in their droves with requests, and we'll be back to you. Have you a cup of tea or anything there, Chris? What do you still like a water. Glass of wine?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
More than welcome. Again, when all this is over, I have a cellar full of stuff waiting to be drunk up, and you're more than welcome.
Oh, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Okay. Chris DeBourg, stay with us. 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Anyway, thanks to James Campbell who helped us get in touch there with Ian Moore, who won Stars in Your Eyes and British television performing Lady in Red. And Chris surprised him, which in turn led us to find a clip of Chris surprising Bernadette, we don't know her second name at this stage, who had a dog called Rogie who sang when Chris DeBourg sang, and Chris sang, Chris sang along to the dog. Liz Rackard is all sold out of her, she gave them away, she didn't make a penny out of them, but the charity is still there separately. IrelandThanksYou.ie, please give them a donation. Okay, let me go to Christine. Christine, what do you want to say to Chris DeBourg?
Hi, Joe. How are you?
And hiya, Chris.
I'm just telling Chris DeBourg that I just loved his music. And I got married 36 years ago and walked down the aisle to meet my lovely husband to in a country churchyard.
Ah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And you met that's when you met your husband for the first time.
No. That's I got married that day.
Yeah, why did you pick that song? Why not, said you, but why?
Because I loved it and the words are just gorgeous. And I used to babysit for Marion and Johnny, they're great friends of mine, and they had a record player. We'd no record player at home years ago. And they had Chris DeBourg's album. So the minute they'd be gone out, I'd have the album on and I'd be singing all the songs. And I learned off that one and I just loved it. And when I got married, that's when I walked down to meet my husband.
And do you sing the song? I'm going to let Chris sing it. But did you say you learned off the song?
Oh, I know the song, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I do.
Let's sing it together. You're singing it. There's your invitation there, Christine and Chris.
Are you ready, Christine?
Sure, go on. Sure, we give it a blast.
Key of G, okay?
Key of G,
I'm going to take off my headphones.
Okay.
And Joe, just one other thing. I have a personal request, a song that I really would like to sing after this, and I'll get back to you on that one. Anyway, here comes In a Country Churchyard. Huh. Right.
In a country churchyard, there's a preacher with his people gathered all around to join the man and woman. Spring is here and turned up, singing from the steeple. Bees are in flowers, growing in the graveyard and over the where the river meets the mill. A lovely girl is coming down, give her hand upon her wedding day. Dressed in simple white and wearing flowers in her hair. Music as she walks slowly to the altar, and picking up his Bible, then the preacher turns towards her. Will you take this man to be your wedded husband, to honor and love in the eyes of God above? Now let the people sing with me words to live forever in your heart. Let your love shine up, for we are the stars in the sky. Let your love shine strong until the day you fly. Fly away. Many years have fallen on that golden country wall. The graveyard's overgrown, the church it lies in ruins, ivy on the walls and ravens wheeling round above me. As I made my way towards the last remaining headstone, I fell to my knees, read the lines beneath the leaves, and suddenly it seemed to me I heard the words like singing in the trees. Let your love shine on, for we are the stars in the sky. Let your love shine strong until the day you fly, fly away.
Great stuff, and that was especially for Susan Quinn. Creativity, Chris. Where does the inspiration come from? Because you write songs, you write the melodies, you perform them. Where? What's your take on creativity?
You know, the songwriting, it's actually not that difficult when you get to a certain point. You have to know your musical stuff backwards, like your chordal systems and so on. I actually am self-taught on the piano and the guitar, so I'm not particularly good on either. But, here's a hint. Stick to the white notes on the piano. You can't go wrong.
Okay. Okay.
It's when you get into the black, the sharp notes. But sometimes it's from an idea that I've had growing like a flower inside my head.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's instant inspiration. Sometimes it's a result of, like, for example, Spanish Train. I was on a train going through Spain to across the Guadalquivir River to Seville, and I wrote some words down. But I would like to sing a song, which I was thinking about for a while.
Okay.
I wrote this a few years ago, and just before I take a quick sip of water.
Yeah.
But this is... Really, most of us, or many of us, have had the opportunity to visit an old person's home, an old folks' home.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking that, you know, these elderly people, they were young once. It's such a mistake to look at a drooling old person thinking they were always like that. No, they were running for the fields. They were children. You know, I can tell I get very emotional about this.
Yeah.
They were once little, they were young, they were babies, and now they are seeing out the rest of their lives in old people's homes. And we're hearing a lot about this terrible virus being catastrophic in old people's homes. So I was thinking about that sort of situation some years ago, and I'd love to sing this song for you and your listeners. And this is one, it's called Through These Eyes.
Yeah, lovely.
Through these eyes I have seen the world, live my dreams in a thousand ways, with my treasures and my memories. Now I wait for the end of days. A rose that is old and dry, and a mirror that's broken. But through these eyes, they come to life again. And then the rose begins to bloom and shine again. I must be dreaming. And in the mirror, there's a face. I'm young again. I must be dreaming through these eyes. Through these eyes, I have seen so much in a changing world that is made for the young and not for those who are left behind. But
I still have my photographs of where we would laugh and run, so nearly forgotten. Through the darkness, I can see your light. And then the sun begins to shine. I see my friends, I must be dreaming. They're reaching out to hold my hand. We're young again, I must be dreaming. Through these eyes, through these eyes.
Beautiful. When did you write that, Chris?
That was 20 years ago. In fact, there was a movie called Through These Eyes, which we got a lot of funding for, but it never got made for some reason or another. It was an old lady's, you know, for elderly people, their entire lives just come down to one room. And in this, I had the vision of an old lady with a book, her diary when she was a little girl, and she opens it up, and there's a pressed flower in there that she pressed when she was little, and then she also holds a cracked mirror that she had when she was a teenager, and in her imagination the flower is beginning to bloom and the mirror is no longer cracked. She's looking at herself when she was young, and it's just we all have stories to tell, and elderly people have wonderful stories. So if you have a chance to get your grandfather or grandmother, as my mother did, write down their stories, because they're important.
Now is the time to do it, and people have young people have their smartphones. They can record when they even you can do it over the phone. Record their grandfather and grandparents talking about their early lives, because they're fascinating stories. Yeah. Stay with us, Chris. Everything is backing up on us now. Unfortunately, I have to do two ad breaks, such as the level of calls in. 51551. Wash your hands.
Yo, Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We are talking to Chris de Burgh on the occasion of what, his sixth decade. He's now entered the sixth decade performing. And it's an incredible story. Nearly 50 million albums sold, believe it. Now, Patricia N. Hayden, Patricia.
You,
Patricia and Carlo, quickly, what do you want to say to Chris? You met Chris when, how, why?
Back in 1995, I was bringing my husband up to St. Vincent's Private Hospital for a back operation.
Okay.
And we were driving up towards the hospital, and Chris was coming out of the Ellen Park golf course.
Okay.
And I saw him, and I just abandoned the car in the middle of the avenue.
And abandoned your husband?
And abandoned my poor husband as well, of course, yeah. But I mean, Chris de Burgh was there, so I mean, that takes precedence.
But your husband was brought to hospital for an operation.
Ah, but sure, he was okay, he knew.
Okay. So you ran over to Chris.
I did, and then I just became speechless, because I couldn't believe I'd actually met him.
Okay, fantastic. By the way, Patricia, I know it's of no importance to you at this stage, but how is your husband?
Oh, he's fine. He's had two operations.
Oh, God.
He's fine so far.
Okay, well done. Well, that's Patricia N. Hayden and Carlo Morris McCarthy in Wexford. I won't get through all of you. Go ahead. Your quick story, Morris.
Yes, indeed. Hello, Chris, and well done on your career. In 1975, I was in a group called Kelly's Heroes. We were supporting the Bay City Rollers in the country club in Port Marnock.
Yes.
And Chris was on it as well, way up in the pecking order to us. We were down low. But anyway, I was drinking, had a few pints of Guinness with Chris at the bar, and he gave us so much encouragement that we decided to audition for Opportunity Knock. She said, you should go for it, because Huey Green was coming to the country club in Port Marnock to do auditions.
Okay.
We went for it.
Yes.
We won the audition. We were brought to Thames Television in London, and we won it on the 1st of January 1976.
Well done. Morris McCarthy and Kelly's Heroes. Well
Wonderful.
Done. And well
Wonderful.
Done to Chris. Okay, we are... Chris, would you prepare to sing? Pick a song to sing us out on?
Yeah.
And I have to take one more break. You take your time. Coogahane. Coogahane. Nick the Lavaline.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Chris de Burgh, an incredible reaction, not just from your fans, but from your many new fans. This is Chris de Burgh performing Let It Be. Chris, thank you so much. And Ray Darcy is next. Thank you, Chris. Stay well. You, Diane, your family.
Thanks a lot. Sing along.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Everybody, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. Sing again. Let it be. Ooh, let it be. Let it be. Yeah, let it be. There will be an answer. Let it be. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Stay well. Stay well.